On the show today, we have Sea Recovery's Vice President of Business Development, Brian Moffitt. He is the modern-day marathon man, and he shared with us how his running passion has helped him succeed in his career. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with Fit Exec. On the program today, we have Mr. Brian Moffitt, a.k.a. the running man. As you can see, he's already ready to go. You're already ready to run.
Let's go. Well, I got my Boston jacket on. Boston's on Monday, so you know I like to wear my Boston Marathon clothes around the Boston Marathon time, and obviously this year is a little bit different for the Boston Marathon.
A little bit different, but nonetheless, you can live vicariously through previous accomplishments, which I can see on the on your wall behind you. You got all these medals and stuff, bragger.
Well, it's you know, it's either this or the medals go in the closet. So at least I get to reminisce about the marathons and all the runs. So,
that's pretty cool.
Office is decorated.
Hey, I want to talk to you before we get into like how exercise helps you in your career and all that type of stuff. You have this goal where you were running, what was it, a marathon in each state or something like that? What was that goal or what was that project or whatever you were doing and did you accomplish it?
Oh, yeah. So the goal is 50 marathons in 50 states. Actually, the goal is 51. So people always look at me and go, do you not know how many states are in the United States? And
well, it's Puerto
Rico. There are 50, but 50 plus D.C. is my ultimate goal.
Oh, okay.
To run a marathon in each state plus Washington, D.C. And I'm 49 towards my 51.
Wow.
Accomplished. I've actually run 50 marathons. I've run Las Vegas twice, so Nevada was twice. But other than that, I've run a marathon in every state except for two.
What are those two?
Are you ready? Are you ready for the two?
Rhode Island and Montana.
No. I have not run a marathon in Alaska.
Oh.
So that is scheduled for June to be determined if we will actually run that race.
Okay.
Run has not been canceled yet. And the final race is Missouri. Believe it or not, I live in Kansas City, Missouri.
What?
It's my home state. I've saved my home race for my last one.
Oh, okay. Well, I get it now. I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So friends and family can celebrate. I've got a bunch of running partners. They can go run with me for that race. So it's going to be a big celebration.
Right.
Hopefully in October of this year. But if Alaska gets canceled, I'll have to push everything back to 2021 because,
gotcha.
Of course, I want to save Missouri for my last one.
Kind of like the Olympics, pushing everything back to 2021.
Yeah, it's like we just need a do-over for this year.
Yeah, I think all of us need a do-over for this year, for sure. But that's another show, Mr. Moffitt. Hey, you are the VP of Business Development at CU Recovery, and give us a quick synopsis of what that entails, and then we'll get into how all these really cool health habits that you have kind of mesh into your professional life.
Sure, absolutely. Sea Recovery, we are a PSU company. We're a wholly owned subsidiary of PSCU. And we are based out of Wyoming, Minnesota, which is not the best time to run in the winter in Minnesota. But I, of course, like I mentioned before, live in Kansas City. I work remote. I've been there for 17 years.
Wow.
And we do collection work for credit unions, and I help manage our sales department.
Right on. And so you do a bit of traveling as well and kind of bounce around the country like most of us do these days. And
yeah, I travel quite a bit and in and out of credit unions all over the country. And you name it, I've probably run there before.
Exactly. I know you have like a running app. You find all these trails and all these trails and stuff through downtowns and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's a great way to see a city. It really is. It's when I know where I'm headed, I'll look and see where's my hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Is there running trails around there? How far am I from stadiums, from arenas?
Right.
Is there a river walk? I mean, I've been all over cities all over the country.
Gotcha. And so, and that kind of brings me to like another issue that a lot of us have when we travel. Exercising during travel is sometimes a huge challenge. So how do you kind of get around those challenges? I mean, obviously, do you get up at like 4 a.m. and go for a run or wait till the afternoon or when things are done? Or how do you manage that time? Because it's really difficult.
Yeah, that's a great question. What I try to do is replicate my home life as much as possible when I'm on the road. So now I can't say that's always been the case in my career, but as I've gotten older, I've learned that if you can replicate what you do at home when you travel, it makes a lot better.
Yeah.
You get rest, you get your nutrition's a lot better. It's real easy to not eat really well when you're traveling much easier to go through that drive-thru and grab that cheeseburger and fries. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want that at the end of the day as well. But so really just replicating your home life on the road.
Mm-hmm.
For me, being a runner, it's easy. I pack my running shoes, a pair of shorts, and I'm ready to go. Now, if somebody's looking for a gym, it's a little bit harder. But as a runner, I love it because I can pack my shoes. Try to get out in the mornings because we talked earlier It's hard to get a run in later in the day, no matter how well of intentions you have, because life gets in the way. So I try to get up early, get out early. Have a couple stipulations if it's not the best part of town.
Yeah.
I try not to get out too early. My wife, of course, wants me to text when I leave. Let her know how long I'm going to be gone, and then I text when I get back, just to make sure that I'm...
Okay, and so how far do you go? I mean, do you do like a 5K? Do you do 10K? Or on these runs that you, when you travel, how far do you go? Or how long do you run, rather?
Yeah, usually for about an hour. So, you know, 7-8 miles. It depends on, you know, where I'm at. Sometimes it's hard to get 7-8 miles in because of the location. Mm-hmm. So there have been times where I've run to maybe it's a shopping center. I'll run around the shopping center parking lot 10 times, you know, to get my mileage in. You know, 'cause you don't want to get off the main path too much. Again, for safety reasons, but usually about an hour.
Okay. So let's get to, so how do these habits help you? I mean, again, going to traveling and going to conferences and visiting credit unions and that type of stuff. How does that set you up for the day? Because a lot of people that I've talked to said, you know what? I mean, it just clears my mind. I mean, I'm ready to go. That's part of my routine. I'm ready to go. Is that kind of the same with you, or does it affect you differently?
No, I mean, that's similar. Somebody who might be a non-runner, you tell them, oh, it clears my mind, and they think you're crazy because, you know, running to some people is a punishment. But me, it's clearing my mind. I'm setting up my day. If I have a presentation or speaking engagement at a conference, I'll run through my presentation one final time. It's just a great way to let the stress of everything else just kind of dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, and fresh air and the endorphins that kick in when you're out exercising.
Yep.
It's a great way to start the day and works your way through the stress of the day later on.
So how are you if you don't get your run in, Brian?
Should we interview my wife? My wife and kids on this interview. You know, I joke about that, but if it's been a couple of days, let's say the weather's bad. We've got some pretty, we can have some pretty harsh winters here in Kansas City. So.
Mm-hmm.
I try to avoid the treadmill as much as possible. You know, the dead mill,
the dreadmill.
I mean, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
So I do try to avoid the treadmill. But if I have to, if I can't get outside and it's been a couple of days, my wife will be like, hey, it's been a couple of days, Bryce, since you've run. You should probably think about getting on the treadmill or getting outside. So it definitely it helps my stress level. I know I'm a better husband because of it. I know I'm a better father because of it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, a better career person as well.
Indeed. And speaking of career, so how do you think your fitness habits over the years have helped you kind of get to where you are and maybe get to where you want to be later on? So how have those, do you see a correlation there at all, or are you just kind of keep them separate?
No, I think you can see some parallel stories there, because as a runner, as an athlete, as somebody who's in the fitness world, you have to have motivation. You've got to be accountable. And you've got to be responsible, because I always say the hardest step is the first one out the door in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's making you get up to exercise. Nobody's right. making. It's not like you are an athlete in college, and you know your coach is pounding on your dorm room like, "Hey, it's time to get up for practice."
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to hit that snooze button. But I know personally, if I don't get out for a run, I'm missing out on something for the day.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's my health. As we get older. I've kept myself in pretty good shape, and I don't have any health concerns. I'm not overweight. You know, all those benefits come along with exercise, and mm-hmm. so it's definitely helped me in my career as well.
No doubt, yeah, no doubt. Hey, so what types of things do you eat? What's kind of your diet? Or should we even go there?
Everything.
Because you were talking about drive-thrus earlier, so I'm scared. So I mean, obviously we can. You know, we have our cheat days and things like that. I you know, go to In-N-Out and get a double-double and a chocolate shake and stuff like that every now and then. But, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, chicken and pasta and salad and that type of stuff. Just the foods that fuel you, that keep you from, I don't know, taking a nap in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you've got me craving In-N-Out now, Mike.
Yes.
You know, we don't have In-N-Out in my part of the country. So
sorry about that.
Yeah, you got to go south, I think, down to Texas.
Texas, they have them in Texas, not too far.
Yeah, but yeah, just a road trip. You know, yeah. It's a great time. There's nobody else on the road, so
exactly.
Just go out, travel in and out. No, I do try to eat pretty healthy. You know, for me, pizza is one of my loves. I mean, I love pizza. I think my streak I gave up pizza I didn't give it up completely, but in 2016, I really wanted to qualify for the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I had made the decision in February to try to qualify at Chicago Marathon in October.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 months away, and I thought, I'm going to give up pizza. And Mike, I ate pizza for 17 days straight before the day I gave it up.
Good for you.
So, That's a little insight into my mind on, you know, sometimes endurance athletes, marathon runners, we don't quite click the same as other people. Where my wife likes to say I'm very intense. And so whether that's eating pizza or running marathons, I can get pretty focused. But you know, I do try to avoid things like pizza. I try to avoid, for me personally, dairy products. I avoid a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make sure I'm reading labels. Sugar isn't everything. And so I try to read labels, make sure I'm not consuming a ton of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And whole wheat pasta, whole wheat breads, whole wheat tortillas. I'm not too crazy with my diet, but I'm definitely aware of what I'm fueling my body, because if I have a 20-mile run this weekend, I don't want to be eating a bunch of junk all week, because I'm going to feel it. It's not like I'm out running, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm out running 3 hours plus.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure my body's fueled up, or I'm not going to make it.
Right. So, what do you eat before a 20-mile run? What's on the menu for that?
I eat a lot of toast, a couple pieces of toast.
Okay.
And then I actually make homemade granola. Just take oats and honey and natural peanut butter and some cinnamon, vanilla, bake it up, and then have my homemade granola and eat that with some almond milk, and good to go for a run.
Listen to you, Mr. Whole Foods. I like that. What's that?
And then you're fueling as well during a run.
Right.
You're not going to be able to go out and run two, 3 hours without any fuel. So there's energy gels and all different. That's a whole other conversation.
Oh yeah.
Endurance running has a lot to it.
Yeah, there's a science behind that for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, what about rest? Because I've been reading more and more stories and studies and things like that about how important sleep is. I mean, getting 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, or anything less than that, and you can't function right. What do you do to get the optimal rest? Or do you subscribe to that? Or what's your take on all that?
Yeah, that's really changed the last couple of years. Again, as we get older, it's like it just one day everything changes. It's so it's such a strange concept. For years in my running, my wife would joke that I could go to bed at midnight, wake up at 3:30, and go run 3 or 4 hours at a time. I just didn't need a lot of sleep. Well, as I've gotten older the last couple of years, I definitely need to get rest. And for the people watching, I would encourage you to try to get 7-8 hours if you can. You're putting your body through 50, 60 miles a week. You've got to get rest. You've got to give your body time to repair. And so I'm usually trying to get in bed by 10 p.m. I like to read a little bit, slows my mind down.
Mm-hmm.
Read a little bit before I go to sleep. And then I find that I fall asleep faster if I'm reading instead of watching TV.
Yeah.
Late at night or on my phone. And then, that alarm clock goes off at 4:30 in the morning and ready to go.
So are you pretty self-disciplined in this routine now? Again, like we go back to you don't have your college coach banging on your door, get up and let's go running. So now this is kind of ingrained in your lifestyle now, right?
Yeah, it is. I've been running now my first marathon was 2007. So for the last 13 years, I've been running marathons. The last 14 years, I've been training. And so you think about the hours and hours that I put in, and I know that personally, if I don't get up in the morning, it's probably not going to happen later in the day to get the run in.
Yeah, me too.
We talked about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the winter, it's a little bit different. I do like to run in the afternoons in the winter just because I like to get that vitamin D and see that sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But in the summer, it's hot in the Midwest, and if I don't get out on the road by 4:30 in the morning and get home before the sun gets up, the sun wakes up. I always like to say I like to get home before the sun wakes up, and otherwise, I'm not going to get that run in. And so for me, when that alarm goes off, I can't hit snooze a bunch of times because I know I need to get an hour in or an hour and a half run in. And if it doesn't happen, it's not going to happen.
Well, speaking of that, speaking of getting a run in before the sun wakes up, I mean, what are some challenges that you encounter? I mean, we talked about some of the challenges on the road working, but what are some of the day-to-day challenges? Are there any obstacles or anything like that I don't know, because a lot of us, I mean, time is such a commodity, especially, when we're working, we got family, we got all these other things we have to do. So what's the biggest challenge that you encounter to try to keep this routine up?
My biggest challenge is not putting running before my family and really that's been a challenge the entire 14 years that I've been a runner, because it's really easy to be so laser focused on one thing and forget that, if I'm working till 5 o'clock and walk upstairs and because I work from home. I work remote. And my wife's like, hey, dinner's ready. I'm like, oh, wait, I've got to go run for an hour. It's not the best best start to the evening. And gotcha. So for me, I try not to put running in front of my family. Mm-hmm. They've been my greatest supporters, my biggest fans. I always say they're the best pit crew out there. My wife has gone all over the country with me as I run marathons. My kids travel with us most of the time. And just try not to put my own agenda in front of theirs. And also, you know, you ask about what are some other challenges. At home, it's not as much as on the road, because on the road, you're trying to find a safe place to run. You're trying to find where is there street lights, where are sidewalks. At home, I know my routes. But again, can't get up too early in the morning because, Mike, I've run at 3 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to be out on the streets when cars are out driving at 3 o'clock in the morning. They shouldn't be out there either.
Oh, no. So I'm in a deep REM sleep at that time, my friend.
Yeah, it's a little sketchy sometimes to get up too early in the morning. So my new rule is I do not leave the house before 4 o'clock.
Okay, that's a good rule for sure.
That's the new rule.
Yeah, the closer to that 2 a.m., 3 a.m., that's this really sketchy time for driving.
Yeah, people out driving around that probably shouldn't be out driving around.
Nothing good happens around that time anyway. So there's a reason why we're sleeping. So, hey, speaking of your family, I mean, obviously your family, your daughters, we've known each other for a while, so your daughter's a big runner too. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. My daughter, Addison, she's 11, and her first marathon was when she was 8 years old.
My gosh.
I know. She's watched her dad run, her whole life. And I think her first mile race, kids race, was she was 3 years old in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She ran a mile by herself, 3 years old, no stroller. And so she's been a runner her whole life, too. And she had found out that there's kids in Africa that are dying because they don't have clean water. And she said, well, why don't these kids just go to their fridge and get water like I do?
Yeah.
And we explained to her that these kids in Africa, they don't have a fridge like we do. They live in a grass hut and in a mud hut with a grass roof. And she said, well, I want to do something about this. And we partnered with World Vision, and she runs half marathons with Team World Vision. And over the past, for this number, the past 4 years, she's raised over $130,000.
Oh my gosh.
For kids in Africa for clean water. And through that, she's run 4 half marathons, multiple 6Ks. World Vision, every year they do a global 6K, which mm-hmm. is an awesome, a little bit different twist on a fun run, right? Because you normally hear about a 5K.
Yeah.
Well, they've identified that a 6K, 3.7 miles, is the distance that women and children have to walk to get dirty water.
Oh, wow.
And so you can sign up for this global 6K.
Okay.
And you pay $50 registration fee, and then you go run the 6K, and then in the process, that $50 will provide clean water for one person for their entire life. And awesome. World Vision, they'll send you a t-shirt, they'll send you a bib, they'll send you a medal, and you just do this virtual race.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, you're saving a child with clean water. So, these kids in Africa, they've really grabbed a hold of my daughter's heart and our whole family's heart, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Through that, she's been on the Steve Harvey Show. She's been on national television, obviously. And we were gifted a trip to go to Kenya to see all the work that she's done with World Vision. And so running's a big part of her family.
Indeed. Sure. Well, hashtag rockstar for her for sure. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's my hero for sure.
Indeed. Hey, to wrap up here, because I know you got a lot on your plate, so I won't take up too much of your time here. What advice do you give for somebody who maybe just starting out, or seeing somebody like you that, you know, has running kind of ingrained in their life, but they're like, having challenges, you know, they travel a lot, or they're just starting out, or all this stuff. What advice do you have for somebody to get started, and then how it can help complement their career as well?
Mike, I love that question, because people look at, I made the decision 14 years ago to run one marathon. I had been making some bad decisions in my life, some poor choices, and I was tired of it. And I thought to myself, I just want to do something positive. I want to have a goal that I can focus on. I'm tired of spinning my wheels.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, is this really all life's about? And just kind of hitting this dead zone. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna run a marathon. People talk about running marathons. I'm going to run a marathon. And I thought, okay, I'll do it. I'll train for it. I'll do it. And here we are 14 years later, and I've run 50 marathons in 49 different states. Running has really been taken me places I never would have dreamt before, to Kenya, Africa, and to watch my daughter be on the Steve Harvey Show, and just all these incredible things. And it didn't start off, you know, I didn't start out that first time and go, oh, I hope someday I'll run 50 marathons. I did it because I need to do something positive. And so I would encourage your viewer that, hey, listen, you don't have to have a goal of 50 marathons. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a goal of a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your goal is to get to the corner.
Right.
Maybe your goal is to walk to the end of your run to to the end of the block and then walk a block and then run a block and then walk a block. And I always encourage people, just start somewhere.
Right.
You know, start somewhere. Start running for 30 seconds and then walking for 30 seconds. Start running for 2 minutes and walking for a minute. Run for 5 minutes, walk for a minute. Whatever, you know, wherever you're at from a you know, wherever your stamina is at.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, just build on it and build on it and build on it. And don't get intimidated. Don't get discouraged by the distance. Don't look at somebody else's story and go, well, that's, you know, I could never do that. Never say never, because marathon running is no different than anything else we put our focus to. Mm-hmm. You just got to have a goal. You got to put the time in, got to put the work in. And before you know it, you'll be able to run 26 miles. And people say, well, how do you ever have time to do it? Because it's a lot of time. And and they'll say, I could never run a marathon. And I always tell people, if you can run a 5K, which is 3.1 miles, run a marathon. And they'll say, oh, there's no way. Well, you don't just wake up one day and go, today I'm going to run 26.2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
You put in the time, and after 4 months or 5 months or 6 months of training, you can run a marathon.
Yeah.
So just encourage somebody, you know, take that first step. I always say, first step, like I said, the hardest step is the first one out the door.
No doubt.
And I've never regretted coming back from a run. Now, I've regretted not going on a run. You know, I've regretted sleeping in. I regretted, you know, going out to dinner instead of running when I should have. I've regretted, you know, watching two more episodes of The Office instead of going on a run, whatever it might be. But I've never regretted going out for a run once I got back.
Yeah.
And just get active. It'll help you sleep better. When you start running, you'll see the benefits of that. You'll see the benefits of fueling correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help diet, and in turn, it's going to help your career as well, because it's going to help clear your mind. You'll be a better manager. You'll be a better leader.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, a better father, a better mother, and then a better spouse as well.
Indeed. And what else I'm hearing here is time management too, because in order to do this, you got to really organize your day. And so in order to do that, and I think that would really kind of complement your professional life too. Because if you're going to make time in your day to train or just go for a run, well, you got to make time, you got to segment your day properly as well. So that's a way of looking at it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Time management is key.
Mm-hmm.
There's little blocks throughout the day, and you got to figure out what are you going to fill that block with. And for me, running is a priority. So I make sure I get my run in 6 days a week and allow my body to rest one day.
Good for you. All right, sir. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Appreciate the time as always. Anything else to add? Any final words of wisdom, sir?
No, that's it. We need to run together sometime.
I know.
We haven't done that before.
It won't last very long, but I'll run with you for about 15 minutes or so.
Whatever, Mike, whatever. Whatever. People always look at me after I tell them I run a marathon, and after 50 marathons, they're like, oh, it's just Brian running a marathon again. And I'm like, it's still 26 miles.
Yeah.
It's still a long ways. It still hurts. It's still very, very taxing on the body. So regardless of how far you run, I always tell people, let's go out for a run. I don't care if it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
I'm all for it.
And running's a great community activity is what people think, that you can't communicate when you run. But some of my best conversations are running next to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And I have really good conversations in my head too.
That's right.
Alrighty, sir. Well, I'll let you get back at it. Appreciate the time. Well done. Thanks for being an inspiration for all of us. And if it was earlier in the day, I'd go for a run, but I'm going to save that for tomorrow morning.
All right, Mike. Hey, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Anytime, sir.
Talk to you later.
All right.